You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our Head of Australian Economics. Gareth, good to have you on today.
Thanks, Belinda. Nice to be back for another podcast.
It is. And on a topic that I think everyone is very interested in, and that is the housing market. The last 12 months has proved really an extraordinary time for the Australian property market. Kind of when we think about 12 months ago, the Australian housing market was rising, COVID-19 hit, and we at the time, 12 months ago, thought the housing market would experience some pretty big falls just given what we're expecting for the economy at that point in time. But from September onwards, we were really one of the first of the major forecasters to start to think the Australian property market may hold up better than what we had originally anticipated, and that has certainly proved the case since around November, where the market started to rise again. What's kind of been happening the last few months, Gareth?
Yeah, look, it's been a pretty interesting one as far as the Australian property market goes. I mean, the economy more broadly has been recovering. We've had a V-shaped recovery in the labour market, but in terms of the housing market, we've also seen a remarkable recovery on the prices side of things. And also the activity side. So if we look at just what's been happening more recently, prices are now rising in all capital cities. And in fact, they're rising quite quickly in some capital cities. I mean, the CoreLogic produces a daily dwelling price index. And what that says is that over just the first 2 weeks of February, national prices are up by 0.8%. So that's looking at coming in a bit over 1.5% in February alone. I mean, lending has picked up quite a bit over the second half of last year. Turnover is up, auction clearance rates are up. So everything's actually, you know, pulling in the one direction. Probably the other thing to notice too, more recently over the last sort of 3-4 months, is that growth in house prices has actually been quite a bit stronger than growth in prices for apartments. So there's a lot going on, but at a very broad level, things are looking quite strong at the moment.
Now, we're going to go through some key reasons why we expect property prices to rise, and by this we're talking about residential property prices, and we are expecting them to lift 14% over the next 2 years. Now, one of the key reasons for that, and a very important part of our model, is new lending is surging at the moment.
That's exactly right. I mean, new lending, or just lending in general, is a really key guide to what's likely to happen with prices. I mean, and it's quite intuitive when you think about it. The money that people borrow ends up going into the housing market, and that then pushes up prices. What we find is that there's a really tight relationship, historical relationship, between the annual change in lending and the annual change in dwelling prices, with about a 6-month lead from lending. So another way of thinking about that is what happens in terms of lending gives you a good guide as to where prices are going in the near term. And what we've seen over the last sort of 4 or 5 months is that lending has picked up quite significantly. Initially, that was driven by owner-occupiers, but more recently, it spilled over to investors. Lending to first home buyers, which are part of owner-occupiers, has also been quite strong. And so, you know, that is now feeding into higher prices. And we're seeing that, as I said, in the most recent house price data.
And I think, as you said, interest rates do, you know, play a role in that. And just on that, we did have the Reserve Bank of Australia in its first board meeting of the year in February say that, you know, interest rates will not move higher till 2024 at the earliest, which is a pretty big signal out there as well. But like all other asset markets, momentum has a big story to play as well, doesn't it?
Look, it does. And the property market is one of these kind of funny beasts where once it gets on a roll, momentum sort of becomes self-perpetuating. And some of the things that we like to look at just to gauge sort of the strength of momentum at any particular time is not just around lending, but around auction clearance rates. I mean, they are very, very firm at the moment. Nationally, they're sitting in the 80s, which historically has been consistent with double-digit dwelling price growth. You've got a couple of indicators relating to where households think prices are going. You've got the Melbourne Institute Westpac monthly survey around house price expectations. mean, that's surged over recent months. And then our CBA home buying measure out of the CBA household spending intention series has also surged. So everything's sort of pulling in the one direction, as I said. And what tends to happen is expectations become self-fulfilling, and then that in effect validates the expectations. So we're at the part of the sort of housing price cycle at the moment where it looks like things are really set to go, just given how strong the underlying momentum is at the moment. And as you say, it's very much being driven by where interest rates are. And I think the fact that the Reserve Bank is giving this explicit public forward guidance that rates are going to stay very, very low for a number of years, now that's giving borrowers a lot of confidence to go on out there, take on debt, knowing that the interest cost on that debt is unlikely to rise for a few years.
So all of that together, when we kind of look at the model that we use that combines the change in mortgage rates, flow of credit, auction clearance rates, house price expectations, which you've all talked about. I said at the start, house prices, we expect them to go up 14% over the next 2 years. Is there a split between states? Is there a split between houses and apartments? Kind of how far and fast will prices rise?
Look, it's a good question. And you know, some of those leading indicators are actually suggesting that price rises could be really, really swift from here. In fact, all those inputs that go into our model are screaming that house price rises could be faster than at any point we've seen before, and our model goes back to about 10 years. Now, you know, like all models, there's limitations, and we don't always just take a literal read of what our model's saying, because there's a few other things that are going on in the background that we're not actually capturing, and that is in the apartment market. We've got rising vacancy rates because we don't have any net overseas migration taking place at the moment. So we've still got growth in new supply coming online, but not a lot of growth in the population. So you know, that means we've got a soft rental market. So I think at the margin, that'll weigh on growth in apartment prices, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne. But when we look at the bigger picture, which is the Australian housing market more generally, things look like they're going to be very strong. So in terms of our forecast, we've got a forecast which extends out a couple of years now. So we've got national dwelling prices rising by a bit over 14% over a two-year period. We pegged 8% for this year, 6% for next year. But in terms of the split between houses and apartments, we think, you know, an unusual disparity will be there in the numbers over the next couple of years, where houses or growth in house prices is quite a bit stronger than apartments. We're looking for 9% for houses this year and 5% for apartments. And then a similar story next year. We've got 7% for houses and 4% apartments. And then, of course, within the variation across the capital cities, we think that it'll be some of those smaller capital cities that actually outperform. So we're looking there at Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, Hobart. In fact, all of them outperforming relative to Sydney and Melbourne. You know, everyone, I'm sure, will appreciate that forecasts are just simply that. It's very unlikely we're going to get the exact point forecast correct. But I think, you know, from a thematic perspective, what we're sort of communicating with our clients is that house price rises will be strong. They'll be strong across the board, although, you know, the smaller capital cities, in our view, will outperform Sydney and Melbourne, and houses are likely to outperform growth in apartments.
Now, there's obviously, with any forecast, there are risks to the outcome. And I think with the housing market in particular, you know, there's quite a few risks that we could pinpoint. I think the last housing market gain was really stopped by macroprudential measures. What's the likelihood of them being reintroduced, and what are some other risks that we should be watching out for as well for the housing market?
Yeah, so when thinking about risks to our sort of base case, if you like, that for dwelling prices, you've got both downside and upside. And I think on the downside, you've definitely got macro proof. You know, I think there's probably a low chance that the regulators get involved in the housing market this year in terms of slowing growth in lending. We're still very early on in the piece in terms of rising prices. And I think the regulators are probably more concerned with what's happening to the stock of debt as opposed to the flow of new lending. And it does take a while for the stock of debt to start growing in any material sense. And I think, you know, given the economy's still on a recovery path, I think the regulators would be unlikely to kind of step in and do anything to cool the housing market this year. But it is a risk nonetheless. The funny thing is, in terms of a risk, prices have to actually be rising quite quickly, I think, for them to step in, which means in a lot of ways we're probably achieving our forecast anyway for pretty strong growth in prices if the regulators do get involved. I mean, just a couple of the other downside risks would be one related to COVID itself. I mean, we're seeing kind of mini lockdowns, if you like, at the moment throughout the country. They're certainly not enough to derail the housing story, but if we were to see anything kind of large scale like we saw in Victoria down in Melbourne last year, you know, around July to October, that would be a downside risk to the housing market. And then, of course, if the Reserve Bank needs to raise interest rates earlier than they're expecting, that would have a big impact on the housing market. Again, that's a risk. We don't think they'll do that, but you know, we have to be sort of aware that interest rates can actually change. Just on the upside, there's a key one to ask, and that is just around the fact that, exuberance coming into the market and what has been characterised as FOMO or fear of missing out could really take the market by hold, and we could end up with what we would say is turbocharged price rises given where interest rates are. I mean, it's worth sort of highlighting that the cost of borrowing in most housing markets now across Australia is comfortably below the rental yield. That's a really rare situation, and that means that the markets aren't actually in equilibrium. And they don't usually like being in disequilibrium, and they'll be searching to restore that relationship where you've got kind of a rational measure of interest rates relative to rental yields. And for that to happen, prices have got to rise. So, look, I think overall we'd sort of say the risk to our numbers is skewed towards stronger outcomes, just given the strength of those forward-looking indicators, the strength of the economic recovery that we've seen, particularly in the back end of last year, and where interest rates are at the moment, and because they're at rock bottom.
Certainly going to be a fascinating space to watch in 2021. Gareth, appreciate your insights as always.
It was good to have a chat, thanks.
Now, you can read Gareth Aird's report, which was published on the 15th of February 2021, titled Australian Residential Prices to Rise Strongly Over the Next 2 Years, on combankresearch.com.au.